Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to Cricket Central. On this edition, ton up, but all in vain. Watson's wasted century causes a royal pain in Rajasthan. Also this week, Halfway House, which IPL teams are poised to make that playoff push with the season almost at its midpoint. And later, deal or no deal, IPL contracts are coming up, so which players need to find their form in a hurry? All that and more on today's Cricket Central. I will not be stranded at the non-striker's end, so my regular teammates are here to keep me company, former Canadian international batsman Zubin Sukari, and alongside him, cricket writer and broadcaster Faraz Sarwat. We are approaching, gentlemen, the halfway stage of IPL 6, and we've had plenty of entertainment. You might say we've been spoiled for entertainment. We've seen a couple of super overs. We've seen umpteen last ball finishes. We've seen a couple of hat tricks. It's all been good fun. But I get the sense that it's about time that these teams need to get serious, because if you want to be in the equation in the top four in a few weeks' time for us, you need to start stringing some wins together with some consistency.
Yes, that's right. At the halfway stage, you are looking basically at certain teams to make a push and other teams to kind of now fall by the wayside. I guess when we were looking at previewing the season, each team basically had a shot at making the playoffs, you would say. But I don't think anyone would have guessed that the Daredevils would be struggling, you know, to make the final four when you look at the top three that they had. And the Sunrisers, you know, we didn't really predict that they would be up there either. So I think the halfway stage is kind of a good gauge to see what's going on and who's going to kind of make that push now.
Well, is it a false impression or a false dawn? As Faraz says, the Sunrisers, the new franchise, pushing for a top four place. Delhi Daredevils, top of the standings in the regular season in 2012, nowhere. They lost their opening six games, and I think the season's already over for them, Zoom.
Yeah, it looks like that way. Teams that you wouldn't expect to be at the bottom are pulling off big wins. Teams are kind of settling into the format. So it's an interesting time. I think there's going to be a few little scenarios that might come up during the season. So,
well, the tinkering goes on. And of course, that, I guess, is a decision between the coach and the captain. As everybody knows, you're only allowed to play four overseas players. So I suppose match to match, depending on the conditions, depending on the opponents, as the captain, you have some decisions to make. You can't always play the same 11 every game.
Yeah, that's right. Now, one of the interesting things that you see in the IPL is that captains dropping themselves or being dropped from the sides. And, you know, I find that kind of silly. You know, if you're the leader of the side, you should be in the playing 11. If you're not good enough to play, then, you know, why are you there? At least, you know, the leadership should be enough of a reason why, because, you know, these are franchises, right? So somebody's actually gone out and said that this is the captain that we want to appoint. And often on these teams, they're overseas players, so you've brought them in and made them captain for a reason. So I find it kind of silly that the captains would drop themselves. But certainly, when you've got as big a roster as the average IPL team has, yes, absolutely, you should be kind of adjusting in your playing 11 and rotating some players. Absolutely, yes.
What about this leadership issue? Because Faraz makes a decent point. Angelo Matthews, Ricky Ponting, I mean, there are players who simply, although they are captains of their team, are not necessarily performing, and they have to kind of fall on their sword and say, for the betterment of the team, I'm not going to captain that team. But how do you sort of square that circle? If you're the leader of the team, your troops are looking towards you to do that, whether or not you're performing with the bat and or the ball.
You can add Adam Gilchrist to that list as well. It's a tough situation. I think in such a short season, you need to start performing and got to start putting up the numbers regardless of what happens and regardless of how good a leader you are. And I think all the guys would be feeling that, you know, Ponting for sure is feeling it. Gilchrist, I'm sure, is feeling it.
Yeah, you know, but I kind of wonder, because the fact that it's so commonplace in the IPL for captains to do this, it's not like it's restricted to one team and it's a big deal. A number of teams are doing this. And I wonder whether this isn't pressure from outside sources, not necessarily the team, but owners who want something and, you know, may not have time for the complexities of, you know, what a captain is thinking and the understanding maybe that there are intangibles that a captain in the playing 11 brings to the side. But your point, Nigel, about, you know, if you're the leader of the squad, it's not very inspiring if you're going into battle and the leader says, well, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out. I think you guys need to take it on without me.
Well, it's a bit odd, I think.
Well, Zubin, I mean, let's talk about the pressure that now is going to be applied to these teams in general and to players in particular. We'll get onto contracts in a little while, but talk about, from a player's perspective, games are running short, you need to perform, but you've got to stay in the moment. You've got to concentrate on the next delivery, you've got to concentrate on the next ball that's coming at you, or if you're in the field, you can't get ahead of yourself because, you know, as any sportsman will tell you in any walk of life, you have to stay there, concentrate on the matter that is at hand right now.
It is the most important thing. I mean, if you start thinking about two games from now or three games from now, and you're not worried about digging the 140-kilometer Yorker out to scramble a single in that game that you need to win, because it's more than likely going to be a pressure situation. That's one of the parts of being a professional, is doing the job at hand, not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or who's coming in behind you. Contract-wise, I mean, obviously, everybody wants to have an IPL contract.
Well, it is a matter of fact that the majority of the IPL playing contracts, three-year contracts, will expire at the end of 2013, as most people know. And part of the reason that IPL is so attractive to the fans and to the corporate sponsors is that from a player's perspective, they are extremely well compensated, which is why you get most of the world's best players taking part in this competition for 7 weeks of the year. But again, Zub, I come back to you in terms of the player's mentality and approach. Knowing that some of these players are big names, the Jacques Callises of this world, are not performing this season. Are these players worried about contracts down the road?
I don't know if he'd be worried about it too much. I mean, he's coming to kind of the end of his playing days. And I actually think the IPL is going to be turning away from the older generation if they're not seeing results.
The star quality is beginning to be less of a factor. Is that what you're saying?
The guys like Ponting and Tendulkar to some extent, or Gilchrist, you know, the guys who are not necessarily playing full international cricket, you know, if they're not performing, the star value is still going to derail because there are some other good players around.
One more point before we go to break. Kolkata Knight Riders, defending champions, really struggling to compete. They've got a lot of work and a lot of improving to do if they're going to be part of the playoffs this year. And yet, paradoxically, you've got Gautam Gambhir, who's scoring plenty of runs. You've got Sunil Narain, who's taking plenty of wickets. It seems to me, for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, that this team is not the sum of its parts this year, at least not so far.
Again, it's kind of difficult to say why certain teams click and why other teams don't click when they have all the ingredients that, you know, should result in better performances. I don't know. I think some of it has to do with leadership. Some of it has to do with the composition of the playing 11. I know Zub is chomping to get in on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to me, I think the biggest for them is Jacques Callis hasn't fired as yet. I think in all the seasons prior, he's done really, really well. He must have 15 double half centuries in IPL. So he's a guy that's got runs at a good clip. Like, he's definitely over 100, so they're coming along. They're coming well.
So which teams will contend for the playoffs in 2013? And what about the first ton of IPL 13? We'll discuss that when we continue. Don't forget, you can catch all the action on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online. Presented by CIBC. We'll be right back.
Now's your chance to witness one of the most exciting leagues in sports. See some of the greatest players in cricket take center stage. Experience the intensity of Indian Premier League. Just subscribe now to Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online. See it live in an HD. Who will win the battle for Pepsi IPL 2013 supremacy? Visit sportsnet.ca/world for details on how to subscribe. Presented by CIBC.
Welcome back to Cricket Central. I'm Nigel Reid, alongside former Canadian international batsman Zubin Sukari and cricket writer and broadcaster Faraz Sarwat. We're almost at the halfway point of IPL 6. We'll talk about the possible contenders. We'll gaze into our crystal ball in just a few moments. But gentlemen, talk about an innings all for naught. We've waited 3 weeks for the first century of IPL 2013, and we should perhaps put this in context and say in 2012 and in 2011, there were six tons across the league. We've waited more or less half this tournament for the very first one, which is finally delivered by Shane Watson, and he ends up on the losing side. Stupid game, isn't it?
Heartbreaking, actually. I don't think it's ever happened where a guy scored a 100 and lost a 2020 match. And chasing, to me, in 2020 it's a pretty tough thing. Like, once you see 180 on the board, you're going, holy geez, this is a daunting task. Whereas if it's, you know, going guns blazing at the beginning and you get off to 60, you can kind of bring it and then have a shot.
It was interesting listening to him talking after the game. He wasn't quite in tears, but just about everything but. And he essentially said, well, who cares? I scored a century, but I give it all back had my team won the game.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to say, isn't it? Look, Shane Watson, you know, we've talked about him on in other contexts, playing for Australia and everything, that he's a type of player that when he gets going, he's very difficult to stop. When he gets into that rhythm and that groove of batting, he sees the ball very well. It comes out of the middle of the bat, and he's a strong lad. And so when he hits it, it's gone. So, you know, he hit a brace of sixes today, and that's just the way he plays. And once he's in form, it continues. So that's what I'm actually looking forward to, is seeing how Watson is going to go for the rest of the tournament. So I wouldn't actually be surprised if the next 100 in the IPL also comes from Watson.
And clearly Rajasthan Royals will be the beneficiaries. What he said on the flip side, because he was sort of hero and villain in this particular game, having scored the big century, he then made a mess of the bowling at the other end. And he said, you know, he's had some issues bowling. He hadn't really bowled regularly for some weeks, and it clearly showed when the pressure was on and we got down to the last few balls for Chennai. He couldn't deliver the sort of balls that would strangle the batsman. They were knocking them out of the park, and as a result, the Super Kings managed to do what was necessary.
I don't know if he'd be the ideal guy at this time of his career, meaning he hasn't bowled a lot of overs. He's coming off injury. I don't know how confident he is with the ball. You know, there's things there. He's not the quickest guy. And
so what does that do to a cricket player's confidence? You score a century, that does you the world of good when you think, fine, now I'm seeing the ball coming. But on the other side of the equation, my bowling's all over the place. Having won the game for us, I then lost it for us.
I don't know if it came down to just his bowling. I don't think he'd be too broken up about it. It was only 12 runs, to be honest. Guys are looking to hit sixes. You're bowling 120s and 130s. It's not crucial. They're looking to thump you over the side. There's some guys who can clear the fences. So I think if it was 20 something runs, you know, that would have hurt his confidence a bit. But
I was doing a little bit of reading this week, and it surprised me that Rajasthan, the very first winners of the Indian Premier League back in 2008, have never made the playoffs since. So perhaps this is their best chance, with the old man Rahul Dravid driving the bus, for them to make an impression. And if Watson, as you suggest, Faraz, has suddenly found his form with the bat, that they can be one of those teams that can kick on.
You really do only need one or two good players to get you through. But I think leadership is important. So if you've got a good captain who can keep the team united and everybody knows their role, and then you've got one or two players who can really perform, I think that's the difference between sides. And these games are very close, you know, as Zubin was saying, that, you know, if you've only got a handful of runs to defend, it doesn't matter who the bowler is. You know, it's very difficult to contain them. But if you kind of look at, you know, the rest of the bowlers on that side, I think Cooper was going for more runs per over than Watson was, you know. So, you know, it's going to happen to everybody. But Watson also, just in his defense a little bit, you know, he hasn't been bowling for Australia. And it's been a big part of the debate about Shane Watson, the cricketer for Australia, is the fact that he doesn't bowl anymore. So here, you know, he's been thrust into a bowler's role and he gets tonked a bit. So what?
Let's talk a little bit about the history as Rajasthan make this push for the playoffs. I wonder how much history has to do with what will happen in a few weeks' time, and whether we can expect the usual suspects to be up there. We spoke about this before a ball was bowled in this tournament, and we talked about Chennai, and we talked about Mumbai and Bangalore and so on and so forth. And a team like Chennai has that sort of star quality, that sort of intimidation factor, and that expectation, for example, that whatever's happening now, and they certainly haven't won every game this year, that when everybody's played 16 games, they will be one of the top four teams.
Yeah, they've a pretty well-rounded team. Guys who can hit, guys who can play spin, guys who can bowl spin really well. They got probably the best finisher around, and then a guy who can bat sensibly up to order, which is Mike Hussey. Dhoni, Bravo, you know, and Jadeja seems like he's just, everything's going well for the million-dollar man. So they really do have a good, solid, gelled team at the moment.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Mumbai. Of course, captained this year by Ricky Ponting, hasn't performed with the bat, took that stunning catch, but that's not going to cut it over the course of 16 games. There's been talk about the fact that he and Tendulkar shouldn't be opening the batting, splitting them up, so on and so forth. And the net result so far is not terribly impressive. They've got time to turn it around with those players in the lineup. They've got more than enough talent to turn it around, but let's not forget that Mumbai has never won IPL.
Yeah, and you know, it's very interesting to me that you know, the IPL sometimes needs to decide what it is. Is it a hard-nosed professional cricket league, or is it entertainment, just purely entertainment, as some suggest? If you look at you know, Tendulkar going to open the batting with Sachin Tendulkar, well, what is that about, right? Is it really that these are the two best people to open the batting for Mumbai, or is it so that you can put them together and then there's a conversation about, well, we've got the two legends together. They've scored 37 million runs between them in all formats of the game. Is that what it's about? Or is it about cricketing reasons? And it's clearly, if it's cricketing reasons, it was a bad decision because it's not clicking, right? The runs aren't coming. Is Ponting the best person to be opening the batting? Has Ponting opened anywhere before? So I don't know. And then in the end, I think they kind of, it was getting a bit embarrassing, and then Ponting has dropped himself down the order, and that's silly too. You've got Ricky Bloody Ponting on your team. What is he doing buried in the batting order in a 20-over game? So I think they really need to sort out what they are and who they are. And once they get that right, I think they'll perform better because the talent is there.
Let's talk about some other icons of the game. Let's talk about Muralitharan. Let's talk about Malinga. Sri Lankans, of course, who've been consistently effective in IPL, despite what you might think over the last two or three years. But I was just doing some checking, and this year, not so much. Perhaps Father Time is catching up with them. I don't know. Malinga, 3 wickets in 4 games. Murali, 2 wickets in 4 games. Are these guys just done with this form?
Well, Murali, I think for sure. I mean, when Muralitharan stopped playing international cricket, it was because the knees were gone, the shoulder was gone, the intensity was gone, and yet somehow here he is, and you know,
but he was still taking wickets in IPL.
Yeah, sure he was, but you know, he had you know, and he's a guy who loved to play, loved to bowl, loved to be out there. He was never the kind of bowler who would want to come off, you know. He would always want the ball in his hands. So for him to even quit playing for Sri Lanka, it really had to do with the fact that his body just couldn't handle it anymore, and yet here he was in the IPL, and I think it's catching up with him.
Well, Malinga's still steaming in. He can still throw Yorkers at you, but the figures don't look good.
When guys start getting a little bit older and the stats are not there, everyone, you know, instinctively kind of pushes to that. I wouldn't count him out. I mean, Malinga is a little bit different than Murali. I think Murali's obviously he's been there a long time.
And with Malinga, one of the things is that he is a known quantity now. I mean, that's one part of it. And you've got all kinds of coaching and top level players. But the other part of Malinga is that he's also coming off of injury, right? There's been a period of time where he's been in and out of the Sri Lankan side because of injury. So was he at his best? You know, it's hard to turn down that paycheck, right? So you come and play in the IPL because you think you only need to bowl 4 overs and, you know, maybe it's caught up.
Contracts will decide very soon. One more serious subject before we go, gentlemen. The playoff venues are not confirmed yet. They are supposed to take place in Chennai, but if you've been following IPL, you will know about the political unrest in Tamil Nadu and the fact that no Sri Lankans are playing in that venue at the moment. There's been a meeting in the last 24 hours to decide whether it's time to take this away as a problem. In other words, to change the playoff venues to somewhere else, Mumbai, Bangalore, Jaipur, wherever. At the moment, they've said, we're not going to make that decision because the playoffs are still a month away. So they're taking a watch and wait approach. Thoughts on this? Is it time to put this to bed as an argument and just move them?
Yes and no. I think there's an argument to be made on both sides. You know, the IPL has been pretty knee-jerk about some of the things that it does. You can take the whole tournament and shift it to another country if you need to. Here, you know, and they made a kind of very quick decision about the fact that, you know, they weren't going to have Sri Lankan players play in Chennai and yet keep the games there. That, I thought, was a bad decision. Yes, it is true that things can change in a month. So you can make the decision now and then things are fine a month from now, then you've just, you know, denied Chennai the opportunity to host these games. So I can see that. But I think sooner rather than later, they need to make a decision. It can't be left until the 11th hour. I think it needs to be done fairly soon, I would say within another week or two.
We know sport and politics don't mix, but is the right decision to make a decision one way or the other now, or adopt what IPL has done and say, we'll wait and see?
Yeah, I think it is a bit premature. I mean, it's a month away, like you said, and a lot can happen in that time. There could be a little bit of a calming of the waters, and I'd hope it's resolved. And Chennai is a beautiful venue to play cricket, and you want, you know, if Chennai is in the playoffs, which is likely going to be, you want them to be playing there. It's good for the IPL. It's good for cricket.
Well, I would actually be very surprised if there weren't playoff games in Chennai. Very, very surprised. You know, so let's see.
We shall see what we shall see. Gentlemen, our time is up. Thank you so much, Zubin Sakari and Faraz Sama. Thank you for joining us on Cricket Central. Don't forget, you can catch all the action on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online. Presented by CIBC. Cricket Central is a Titan GSG production. Executive producer Rathan Morthy, editor Jeff Eden. Until next time, thanks for listening.